Dog Works Radio Network presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto hosting Mushing Radio from KVRF 89.5 Studios in the Mattsu Valley. RadioFreePalmer.org is our live streaming site, and MushingRadio.com is where you can find all of our episodes, as well as on iTunes. Just search for Dog Works Radio. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for Dog Works Radio in the search box. We are getting close to Iditarod time, but it sure doesn't feel like it up here in Alaska. Down in Anchorage today, they're at 45 degrees, and a lot of the snow is melting fast. But up here in Willow, we do have quite a bit of snow, but it is still a little warm, 33 degrees up here. But our trails are still pretty nice. But for folks that don't know, the Iditarod has been moved up to Fairbanks for the start. It's only the second time in its history. The last time, I believe, was in 2003. So it's going to be a little bit different trail for the mushers out there, and in by and sense, everybody is a rookie, so it's going to be interesting to see how the strategies play out. The last couple of days ago, the Yukon Quest champion rolled into Fairbanks, Brent Sass. He's been on our show before. You can search for his show on our archives. And our good friend, Hugh Neff, the Gypsy Musher, who hosts a radio show here as well, just finished today, or actually it was last night, coming in fifth place. We want to wish all of the mushers coming in on the Yukon Quest Trail our blessings, and to a great race to all of them. Today we are talking to the publisher of a brand new online magazine, The Sled Dogger. His name is Bob Donovan, and he's calling in from right outside Boston, Lynn, Massachusetts. Bob, how's it going?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I am doing well, thank you. How's the weather up in Boston? I know you guys got a lot of snow up there.
Actually, I just got off my roof, shoveling 5 feet of snow off my roof. It's 27 degrees here, and if anybody in Alaska wants some, tell me your shipping address, and I'll ship it up to you.
I think they need to move the Iditarod over there. What do you think?
It's been crazy. Almost 3.5-4 weeks ago, I could have cut my lawn. It was warm and nice, and then all of a sudden it's one storm after another. I don't think there's been 2 days that we haven't had some kind of snowfall.
So is this pretty atypical for New England? I know you guys get a lot of snow up there, but nothing like what you're seeing this winter, right?
Yeah, this is pretty crazy. I mean, it's off and on. I mean, our big blizzard was the blizzard of 78, but I think we may have more snow than that now, but we are more prepared for it now than we were in 78. But, I mean, generally we have a few inches here, a few inches there, maybe a foot once in a while. But this is, I mean, 1 and 2 foot snowfalls once a week is kind of crazy for us.
How is the public holding on to all that? I would imagine in a city that large that traffic is just a nightmare there in the greater New England area itself.
It's pretty crazy because we don't get snow like this. When they plow, I mean, they don't do a bad job, but they don't plow the way they should. They plow like there's never going to be another snowstorm, so the street's not real wide, and that's how they started with the first plowing, and we've gotten so much snow since then. All the streets are narrow, and the people are holding up pretty good, but I think what's starting to drive people crazy in Boston is how it's shut down the T. The trains aren't running or anything.
Wow. Well, we are not the Weather Channel here on Mushing Radio, but it's always good to hear about what other folks are dealing with in their neck of the woods. So let's jump right into this, Bob. Bob Donovan is our guest tonight. Bob, will you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and what you're all about.
All right. My name is Bob Donovan. I'm the editor and publisher of the Sled Dogger website and magazine. And when I say magazine, it's an online magazine, but it looks and reads like a flip page magazine that you'd get at a newsstand, except for you see it online or on your mobile device. And I've been doing niche type publications for quite a few years as a hobby. I'm not a professional publisher or anything, and I used to do a lot of music and entertainment magazines, but I've always enjoyed and been interested in dog sledding. And when I was living, when I was living in Maine, some of my good friends were mushers, and I really got excited about it. And I think you had spoken with Colby before. We were sitting around his house one day, and he kind of jokingly said, "I wish there was a good magazine that covered everybody and not just the pros." And I said, "I'll do it." And here we are.
And literally, here you are. Just a few months ago, I was talking to Colby on Facebook, Colby Briggs. He's one of the founders of this, along with you, Bob. He said that you guys are getting started. You're looking for writers and advertisers and the whole nine yards. And literally overnight, you guys were up and running and rocking and rolling, weren't you?
It's kind of funny because once we decided we were going to do it, the winter season was coming on, and I said, well, this is the time to do it if we're going to do it. And I put a call out on Facebook for writers, and I was just flabbergasted by the amount of people that contacted us and the caliber of the people that contacted us to volunteer for this, because it's an all-volunteer run publication, and we have some incredible people on the staff. And 7 weeks later, we came out with a 178-page debut issue, and it's been doing pretty good. We just released the Junior Musher issue yesterday, I believe it was. I've been in front of the computer for so many hours now, I'm losing track of my days. But I think we released it yesterday morning, and it's going through the roof as far as the people viewing it are going, and that's working out pretty good.
So let's take a step back a little bit here, Bob. I know you and I have talked, and it's on your bio that you really got your start in the music business. You were managing bands and, you know, setting up interviews and that sort of thing for those types of folks. When was that? How many years ago?
Well, it's kind of a long story. I'll try to make it as quick as I can. Back in 1979 or 80, some friends of mine were in a band, and I kind of became a roadie for them, humping equipment, moving it all around for them. And then I started helping them out, doing a little bit of management for them. And then when they broke up, music became kind of my life. I'm one of those people that if I find something, I believe in it, I totally immerse myself in it. And I took some courses at Mass College of Art, and I got into music management. And then in the early 90s, I moved out, was bouncing between L.A. and Phoenix, and I started managing bands, and I'm a big supporter of women in music, so I managed a couple of all-girl rock and heavy metal bands. And then a few years after that, I started a publication on a whim because there wasn't anything in the local area. They were really covering much in the Phoenix area, so I started doing that, and I've been doing publications ever since. And now, unfortunately, time goes by, and I'm getting older, and the music business is changing. And I decided to take a break, and I was just going to take some time off, to be honest with you. And I started really falling in love with the dogs and my friends who were mushers and everything. And then when Colby mentioned the magazine, I said, let's do it.
Very cool. Well, you know, my question in regards to that is the amount of exposure that that is so much different from back then till now. I remember in college I was, you know, one of those folks that thought they were going to be the next Nirvana with our little college band, and we were out there hanging posters on light poles and, you know, passing out cards and all that sort of stuff. But now with things like Facebook and Twitter and all this online exposure that folks can get, a magazine like the Sled Dogger really blows up really fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was shocked. It's doing really good. I mean, again, I'm really supportive. I want this to work. I want it to be everybody's magazine, about everybody. But we've got like a zero marketing budget, so it's like I fund it with what money I can, and then we do sell some advertising and we get some donations here and there. But it's just been, considering it's mostly discussed on Facebook, I just can't believe how many people have signed up for free subscriptions and just come and see the magazine. It's just incredible.
Well, you know, if you've listened to any of our shows, Bob, and our listeners that are listening now, you know, I love to ask the behind-the-scenes stuff. You know, folks can go out and read the stuff all they want, but here on radio, we got to tell the story, I guess. So I'm going to ask you some of the behind-the-scenes type questions. And my first question is one that you just brought up in terms of being able to market it. How are you doing that, and is it kind of a hair pulling out event, or is it going pretty seamless for you? Is it word of mouth, or are you just plugging away, posting and sharing and that sort of thing?
Well, a little bit of all of that. It's definitely have less hair today than I did a month ago. but I mean, we do a lot of stuff on Facebook. I've joined a lot of different clubs and pages on Facebook. Various different places I can pop around on. I don't want to spam. I don't want to be a spammer to promote it. But I various things online, and then we try to get really involved. And I figure just seeing the name will pull people to it. So we ended up speaking with some awesome people at the Copper Basin 300 and became a sponsor for this year's Copper Basin 300, and was excited for that. So we had a big banner up there flying at the start and finish line of the race. And Alan Moore, he was great. He had some pictures taken in front of the banner after he won. Congratulations, Alan, by the way. And then we just sponsored another event here in New England, the Great Northwoods Sled Dog Challenge. So we're going to have some banners up there. And we want to be doing a bunch of other stuff just to get the name out, you know. But it's hard. It's hard. I mean, we can't throw money at it and put up billboards and stuff like that. So we do what we can. And one thing I'm just so not used to after being in the music business so long is people who are mushers and dog owners are the most amazing people I've ever worked with. People stick together. They help each other. They support each other. It's not like the music business at all. It's just so different.
It is. And, you know, especially the camaraderie that you see out on the trail, you know, for folks that have been out there on races, people will bend over backwards to help you if that time occurs. I don't know how many stories I could tell about folks going above and beyond what they needed to do out there to help somebody else. Bob, what do you think about the audience? Right now, I'm sure you've done some analytics on folks that are reading and where they're reading. Is it primarily a mushing audience, or do you have a lot of just regular, you know, dog owners and enthusiasts?
Mostly it's a mushing audience, but that's starting to develop more to various dog owners who are dog owners and didn't really think too much about dog sports but are getting more interested in it now and stuff. And we're trying to cover a lot of ground with the magazine. So not only are we doing dog sledding, but we're going to be covering dry land runs, ski jour, and everything that's in the realm of this. So that gets us out there a lot. I mean, we've got people on the staff in Australia, in the UK, in Europe. So we're a little bit of everywhere, and it does help cover a lot of ground. So I think slowly but surely more and more people will get into it. And not only do I want, and I hope that's true, because not only do I want this to be covering the events and helping out the people involved in the scene, but I want new people. I want new blood into it, people that want to become fans and don't know much about it or where to go and see it, or people that would like to do this type of stuff.
Right. And I definitely want to talk about some of your volunteer staff in just a second. But for folks that are new to this whole online type format, what kind of feedback are you getting on that? I love it. I read the first issue pretty much cover to cover on my iPad. I have not had a chance to read the second edition yet, but it's very well put together. You guys do an awesome job in terms of your layout, and as you mentioned, it's very much like a magazine. You flip through the pages, and it's almost like an ebook, like you would get from Amazon or Kindle or something like that. How are people taking that compared to something that they can actually hold, like some other types of magazines that are out there?
We're starting to get some feedback. That's one thing that I always thought was funny about running a magazine, whether it be this or the music business, is I didn't get a lot of feedback. But I'm starting to get some feedback with this publication. Again, I think it's just because mushers are awesome people, and everybody seems to love it. I was a little nervous because the first issue was 178 pages. So I was like, oh, that's kind of a lot of pages. But people enjoyed it. I had two people that contacted me and said there was a lot of self-promo ads and stuff. So I cut out most of them for the second issue, and even cutting them out, it ended up still being 180 pages. But people seem to be loving it, and they're loving the fact that we are covering everybody. It's like this issue is the Junior Musher issue. We cover recreational people, people that just have a few dogs and do it on their property, and everything. So it sounds like people are loving it because of that. It's where we promote ourselves as everybody's magazine, and we have a little motto that we say that every musher, every dog, every kennel, every handler has a story, and we want to tell it. And that's
very
kind
cool.
of what we're doing.
Bob Donovan is our guest tonight here on Mushing Radio. He is one of the founders and is also the editor and publisher of the brand new The Sled Dogger magazine, The Sled Dogger. It is thesleddogger.com, right?
Yes.
Thesleddogger.com is where you can go and sign up for an email to your inbox every time an issue comes out, as well as information on the magazine itself, and of course they are on Facebook. So let's talk about the greatest challenge that you've had over the last couple of editions. I'm sure, like you said, you're pretty much glued to the chair the last few months. What has been the greatest challenge for you guys as a publication at this new state of where you're at right now?
You know, I think this is kind of funny because, like I said, I've been involved in the music industry most of my life, and I've enjoyed dog sledding and mushing. I used to watch it on TV from time to time, and I used to watch some of the History Channel about expeditions and stuff. But frankly, I've never been involved in it until very recently when my friends were mushers and everything, and I started hanging out with them, and I really fell in love with it. So this was really, really new to me. So I was depending an awful lot on Colby, and then right after we got the first issue ready to go, he ended up getting a job doing dog sledding tours up in northern Alaska, Batels, I think it's pronounced, and he doesn't have much of an internet connection there, so when he can get a hold of me, he helps me out, but it, like, became in my lap, and I was like, oh no, what do I do? So, I mean, I know how to do a publication, but again, it comes back to I contact the mushers, and I contact the kennels, and I contact the businesses, and people are just so receptive. So what should have been a huge challenge is actually just like I've been doing it all my life. It's been crazy.
What about the technology part of it? Is that a pretty steep learning curve, or is that pretty seamless as well?
Well, for me, it's kind of weird. In the old days, what I would have had was just a forever scrolling website with all kinds of links, and that used to drive me crazy. So I searched and searched and searched, and I found the software that I'm using right now. I'm happy with it, but I definitely want to upgrade to something better, and I'll get more into that later. But what I have to do is I have to do it like I'm doing a print magazine. I use InDesign and Adobe Illustrator and everything, and lay it all out just like a print magazine. And then I save it as a PDF file and go to another program that converts it to the flip page. And then from there, I picked the flip page software that I have because I want it to be better than a print magazine. If you're riding on the bus or whatever, and you see an ad in the magazine that you have in your hand, you have to remember that product for that advertiser when you get to where you're going, and then remember how to call them and remember what you saw. Whereas with this, all the ads inside the publication, as you're seeing it, if it's a product or a service that interests you, you can click on it and it goes right to the people's website or product page right off the bat. So you can take care of it right there from your mobile phone or your computer. So I got a program that did that. But it took a little while to get used to it. And it is a little different, but it's anyone that really knows much about computers could do it. I think what the killer is the time. It's very, very, very time consuming. I just I'm disabled, so I kind of have a lot of time on my hands, and this prevents me from going crazy. So I have all the time to do it, and I really love it.
Very cool stuff. Bob Donovan is our guest tonight, the publisher of The Sled Dogger, a brand new online magazine in relation to sled dog sports and mushing. Let's talk about the staff, an all-volunteer staff. All kinds of writers and storytellers are part of your magazine. You mentioned earlier on in the show that you pretty much just put a call out there and said, hey, if you want to write a story, you know, contact us and we'll get something going. How did that work out? And tell us a little bit about your staff.
Okay, it's... This is might be a little bit of a funny story because it kind of falls back onto my being new in this. When I started the magazine 2 months ago, I didn't know all the big people in racing and everything. I didn't know all the big names because I'm so new to this. So I put it out on Facebook that what we were doing and we were looking for some staff. And I started getting some people from all over the world asking, you know, will you be covering dry land, will you be covering this, will you be covering that? And I said, sure. So we started getting quite a few people, and it was starting to look pretty good. And then I got this awesome letter from someone that really excited me. Just how they put the letter, it really excited me. And so I called Colby, and I said, Colby, I have this great letter, and they want to work on the magazine. They want to volunteer for us. And he goes, who is it? And I goes, I don't know, Lance Mackey or something. And he says, are you kidding me? And he goes, stop it, Bob, stop it. And I'm like, no, really, they want to volunteer with the magazine. I goes, should I know them? And now, sure. Of course, I definitely know. And Lance and Della have been helpful with the magazine. You're on board, which is awesome. We have Natalie and Andre from CTC Dog Gear on board from in New York right now, but also Cape Town, South Africa. Dave King, he's over in Lapland. Simon Kirkpatrick does the Mushing Down Under column. He's in Australia, obviously. We just have so many great people. There's just so many names to mention. We've got probably 15 or 20 people on the staff now, and some of them do regular columns, and some of them do features, and other people just kind of fill in. When, because of what we're dealing with and everybody on the staff is involved in mushing, everybody's schedule is really, well, you know, you mush. So right. Everybody has a really tight schedule, and sometimes people can make deadlines, sometimes they can't. And in this, I can understand it. So somebody else kind of fills in. If someone else says, I don't think I can do it this issue, Bob, somebody else fills in and takes over that spot for the month, which has been huge for me. It's been great.
So your publication right now is going to be a quarterly publication. Is that right?
Yes. Right now we're doing 4 issues a year, winter, spring, summer, and fall. The spring issue just came out, like I said, just the other day. And I'm drawing a blank right now, but it's every 3 months, so February, 15th, March, April, May. The next one will be May 15th, which will be the summer issue. And then May, June, July, August 15th, and then I believe it's November 15th. I have to think about it.
Right.
I'd like to do a little bit more, but because that is kind of a gap right there. But really it comes down to 2 things. One, everybody on the staff aren't they're actually mushers and they're not journalists. So I have to make sure the people on board actually have the time, if we started doing it bi-monthly, actually had the time to do it. That's the first thing. And the second thing is just getting it out there and building up more advertisers and getting more donations to help us out. I definitely need to upgrade a software package because a lot of the things that I am hearing from people is they'd like to download the magazine and keep it on their computer rather than just reading it online. And this program, I have a hard time doing it. The other software I'm going to be getting hopefully soon does allow that. You can download and archive it on your own computer. So it's a little bit of a work in progress. So as we grow, I do want to pick it up to maybe a bi-monthly. But anything other than that, I think it would be too much of a strain on everybody on board.
Okay, Bob, I have two more questions. We have about 5 minutes left here on the show. Being a show on regular radio as well, we have to be kind of consistent with time. My first question is in regards to, you mentioned that most of the folks are not journalists. How are the stories coming across? Are most of these people, in your opinion, good writers? You know, some people might have a heck of a story, but they just aren't very good writers, if you know what I mean.
Actually, that's funny because that all stems from one of my first publications I did, and that became successful as a music publication. And I think the reason is these people are involved in it. They're writing from the heart. It's like they're sitting next to you at a meeting, and in between meetings they're talking to you, this is how my race went today, or let me tell you what went on in the kennel. And it comes off like that rather than big flashy words and all journalistic. It's more of a down-home, from-the-heart type publication, and I think that's why people like it so much, to be honest with you.
But it's coming across very professional. You guys do a heck of a job. You guys, I assume it's just you right now, is doing a heck of a job editing. You're taking out all of the misspellings and all of the bad grammar. You're doing a heck of a job with that for sure.
Actually, if you look through, you'll find some here and there. But
that's okay.
What we want to do is, a lot of publications, especially print publications, are 6 months in advance, and this is based on a monthly publication. So when you submit a story and you put it in, their issue is already six issues in advance. Right now, I get everything in for deadline, and I have 2 weeks to put together a magazine. What I want to do is make it so we're one issue in advance. So that way everybody sends me their stuff, their content. I have 3 months to put together the magazine, and will be one issue in advance all the time. And once that happens, a lot of things will be a lot easier. But right now, yes, it is a little, drives me crazy.
Last question here, Bob, is in regards to money, I guess. A lot of people, when they look at stuff on the internet, whether they're buying things from iTunes or downloading apps or whatever, they expect it to be free, and most people don't download the paid versions. Do you foresee anything like that in the future, where you would charge maybe 99 cents an issue or something like that, just to help defer some of the costs?
Well, to be honest with you, when I started this publication, I sat down and talked to Colby and his girlfriend Erin and everything, and I said, I want it to be free. I want it to cover everybody. I want it to be for everybody, and I want it to be free. But it is kind of a draw on me right now. And I don't really want to charge. I was hoping, the tough part about a magazine is any of the bigger advertisers wait 1 to 2 years before they take you serious enough to start advertising with you. So you've basically got to eat it for a year or two. So I was relying a little bit more on the smaller advertisers and the donations, and it's been really slow. So it's been a little tough, but I don't really want to charge. It has crossed my mind, if I upgrade to the other software, that if you actually want to download it, I'll charge a dollar. But I really don't want to do that. I'm really depending more on the donations and the smaller advertisers.
Right. Are you seeing some results already from the advertisers in terms of clickbacks or you know, links to and from on some of the advertisers that are on there?
I've been working a lot on the website because I've been having some issues at my end, not the actual click-throughs to the people who are advertising, but on my end, so I missed a few. But it looks like they're clicking through pretty good, actually. And I've got a couple of people that have renewed their ad a few times on the website and renewed in the magazine because they said it's been doing good for them. So
good.
I know we're new. I know although we have grown incredibly fast, but I know we're new, so I'm trying to charge incredibly short rates. I mean, really cheap rates, because I want people that ordinarily couldn't afford to advertise. I know they have to feed 20, 30, 40 dogs. I want to make it so they can advertise if they want to. You know, it's not going to make it so they put a mortgage on the house to advertise. You know, I want to make it so they can advertise if they want to.
Awesome. Bob, we're just about out of time. Thank you very much for joining us today here on Mushing Radio. We'll make sure we pass along some links so you can post it on your website, and we'll promote it as much as we can over here too, okay?
All right. Thank you very much, and thanks for everything that the show does. You're great, and I love it.
Thank you very much. Bob Donovan is our guest today. He is the editor, publisher, and pretty much the man with all the hats over at the Sled Dogger. SledDogger.com is the website. Check it out. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.